Hi, this is Pastor John, and I wanted to personally thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us that the Word of God is alive and full of power. So we believe and we trust that this Word is impacting and changing your life for the better. Help us out and share this podcast. We encourage you to listen to it as often as you can, and the more you take the Word in, the more your faith will grow, and the more it'll impact and change your life. Praise the Lord. All right, so if you got your Bible, let's get cracking. Praise the Lord. Launching out into the Word. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13. Praise the Lord. And John chapter 15. Because the topic of the love of God is so important and so deep, we're still talking about it. So John 15, I'll start there. You can be finding 1 Corinthians 13 because, of course, I just really feel like you can't talk about that without going there and at least reading it once. So John 15, praise the Lord. And we'll pick it up. I think I want verse 12. Praise the Lord. And it is verse 12. John 15, 12, he says, this is Jesus talking. It's in red letters right here for you. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Sometimes that sounds easy enough, but we're talking about agape, not phileo. So agape is the God kind of love, which is a love that loves because it is love. And that's all there is for it to give is love. It is unchanging. It is steadfast. It does not change. It does not deviate. It does not go up. It does not go down. It does not love more if you please me. It does not love less if you displease me. It is a constant love that is an unchanging, unfailing love. And the fact that this is something Jesus said, this is the commandment I'm giving you. Lots of stipulations under the old covenant, right? Jesus says, this is the commandment I'm giving you. Here's your new commandment right here, that you would love one another. Here's the catch where it gets a little harder and you got to put effort into it. As I have loved you. So he's telling us that our love level, our love walk has got to get to his extent. You understand? So we have to raise that. We have to raise that. So if you want to raise that, then you got to know what that sound like. So 1 Corinthians 13. And we'll pick it up in we'll just pick up in verse 1. Don't got that many verses to read anyhow. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, if you don't have love and you don't know how to walk in the love of God, no matter how good you might think you sound, even though you know a lot of words, it's just a bunch of noise. And no one's going to pay it any mind if there's no love. He said, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, you might be gifted. You might be intelligent. Come on, you might be wise, having all knowledge. And though I have all faith, you might seem like you could move some mountains. He said, I could, so that I could remove mountains. And have not love, I'm nothing. That's how important walking in the love of God is. And it's not just any old kind of love. Well, that's how Jesus loves us. He loves us so much that he went to the cross for us. His love is so great, so wide, so deep for us that he went to the cross for us. He gave his life for us. In fact, if you keep reading in John 15, after verse 12 and verse 13, he says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for my friends. Or for his friends. You understand? So the love of God, we're called to walk in it. And it's going to be the difference between success and failure in your life. If you don't get it, come on, you're just going to have trouble. You're going to have failed relationship after failed relationship. And we're not just talking like, you know, we was talking earlier about that young man that said he was chasing all the fillies or honeys or whatever he said. And well, we're talking about any kind of relationship. Relationship at your job, relationship at your, you know, with your neighbor, any kind of relationship. Your friends. You know, if you can't learn to walk in the love of God, you're not going to have friends. No one's going to want to be around you. No one's going to stay. So he said, verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, even though you're nice, even though you give. He said, if you don't have love, that's nothing. Even though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. That's pretty deep. I mean, we were just talking about sowing and giving, right? But he said, even if you sow, even if you give, but you don't understand the love of God, I mean, you might as well just throw it away somewhere. You understand? I mean, we are called, we are commanded to walk in love. Love suffers long, verse 4. What's that mean? It endures. It's patient, right? It sticks it out. You know, if you're not full of the God kind of love, it won't be long before you quit and give up. If you're not full of the God kind of love, it won't be long before you quit and give up. You'll quit and give up on yourself. You'll quit and give up because it gets hard. You'll quit and give up on others. If you're not filled with this God kind of love. And if you do not have a revelation of how much God loves you, because really, when you look at this in 1 John chapter 4, he says, herein is the love of God revealed, not that we loved God, but that he loved me. He loved me first before I could ever love him. And if you're ever going to love like Jesus loves, then you're going to have to begin to understand and look at how much he really does love us. And knowing that you are loved, you can't love from a place, you cannot love properly from a place of hurt, from a place of pain, from a place of rejection. No, you got to be healed on the inside, and what's going to heal you on the inside is receiving the love of Christ that he has for you and accepting that God loves me. God loves me. You might feel like everybody else is against you. You might feel like everything else is stacking against you. But no matter what, at the end of each and every day, you can boldly say, for the Lord God himself loves me. Jesus loves me. Every day you can say it. It's true. Every day. It was true yesterday. It's true today. It's true tomorrow. It's true next week, next year, 10 years from now. Come on, all throughout eternity, his love will not fade. It will not fail. It will not go anywhere. He loves me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as you begin to see that, oh, now if the Lord Jesus loves me, man, then it's okay. I can accept myself. I can love myself. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Now you can get over the guilt, the shame, and every sense of inferiority that comes from your past, that comes from what they said, what they did. You can get over that because you understand how much the Lord loves you. You understand that? The psalmist said, even though my mother and father forsake me, the Lord, he takes me up. He takes me in. He loves me. Ephesians chapter 2 says that even when we were dead, lost in our sins and our trespasses, still yet, he had a great love that he loved us with. Hallelujah. Amen. And looked to show us his mercy and his grace. That's the God kind of love. That's the God kind of love. And he tells us that we're to love one another like that. And so if we're going to be able to do that, then we first got to see how much he loves us. It all starts from there. And you begin to accept that, and you begin to understand that. And so what he's telling you here in these verses, in verses 4 through 8, this is how he loves you. And then in turn, this is how we are to love others. Do you see this? All right, so he says, love suffers long. It's kind. Love envies not. It doesn't get jealous. It's not puffed up. right? Verse 5, it does not behave itself unseemly. It seeks not her own, is not easily provoked. It thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Watch now, verse 8, walking in the God kind of love, it doesn't fail. His love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out. Amen? But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But the love of God ain't going nowhere. It's not going anywhere. Amen. And now the thing about this is, one reason you got to know this, right? First of all, you got to know this because it'll change your whole life. You'll never be able to forgive yourself until you know how much God loves you. You'll never really be able to truly get over your past till you understand how much God loves you and how much He paid as a result of that for you. Right? Like John 3:16 is really a deep verse. It's a great verse because it works talking about that. You're talking about salvation, right? You're also talking about giving. You know, what did the love that God has for us motivate Him to do? Give and give His best, right? But then, what is the verse also really about? It's about the love. It's about the love that God has for all mankind. It's about the love that God has for the world. And it's not a shallow love, it's a deep love. You can't get to the bottom of it. You can't get beyond it. Notice that He puts a little word, it's a little two-letter word in front of loved. For God so loved the world. What did He do? He gave. He gave His only begotten Son. So what? So that you and I could be brought in to His kingdom. So that you and I could be brought in to His family. That's how much He loved us. So you got to understand that you love, that you're loved by God, and now you can love the Lord, right? And you can love others right. But until you get that first one straight, that how much He loves you, you're not going to be able to love Him right. You're not going to be able to love others right. You understand? And He commands us that we're to walk in it. So we have to understand it. We have to get in the Word, and we have to look for it. We have to dig in here. We have to spend time praying about it. Right? Now, I tell you what else, you know, Galatians, we were there just a minute ago. Let's flip over there in chapter 5, Galatians 5, and we'll pick it up in verse 4. It says, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision. But what? What avails things? What gets the job done? You understand? That's what availeth means basically, is getting the job done. Accomplishes something. What gets it done? But faith, which what? Which worketh by love. So we know that faith, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, tells that what? Faith is what? Faith is the victory. So sometimes we're not having victory and we're like, man, I thought I was really moving in faith, really working in faith. I've been speaking, I've been believing. Well, how's your love walk? Because faith works by what? By love. And until you make those adjustments, and so you got to ask the Lord to make those adjustments. You could actually be standing, trying to stand in faith, right? There really is no trying. Like I feel like Master Yoda right now. There is no trying. It's do or do not. Right? So look over there at Mark chapter 11, because Jesus gets into it right there, talking about one of the best passages on understanding how faith works. He gets into it right there. Go to Mark 11. Verse 23, he says, "Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe those things that which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Boy, I like them verses. Hallelujah. We'll look at verse 25. "And when you stand praying," you see what I'm saying? You could be looking to exercise your faith in the action of exercising your faith. And Jesus said, you better consider love. You better consider, are you holding bitterness against people or not? He said, if you have aught against any, come on, say, I ought to forgive. Yeah, I did there. All right, you can laugh about it later. All right, so when you stand praying, he said, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now, I also want you to go over here and look over here at Ephesians 3. This passage is really why I came back and preached this tonight. Ephesians chapter 3. And let's pick this up, man. Ephesians 3, man, this is good stuff. This is, you really ought to spend time. Well, you really ought to spend time in the book of Ephesians. I probably got the book of Ephesians more marked up than almost any other book in my Bible. You just can't spend enough time here. And so anyways, you should go back and look at this later. But verse 14 right now. Ephesians 3, 14. He says, "For this cause I bow my knees." When you go into a time of prayer, this is an extra nugget for free. You better know the cause. Don't just go pray to pray. But every time you bow your knee, every time you're going to go get an audience with the Lord Jesus Christ, go in with a purpose. Go in with a cause. The fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Amen? All right, I don't charge extra for that. That's just free. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant unto you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened." How many of y'all want to be strengthened? How many of y'all want to be stronger? Right? You face opposition. You face resistance in this life. Mom, you got to have the strength to overcome. In fact, Romans chapter 8 tells us what? We are more than conquerors through him that what? Loved us. You see that? So my strength comes from knowing how much Jesus loves me. One of the ways his strength comes into my life. Hallelujah. "That he would grant unto you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell," verse 17, "in your hearts by faith, that you" what? "Being rooted and grounded in love." How important is understanding love, the love of God? It's so important that I have to be rooted in it. I can't just know about it. I can't just have heard about it one time. But my understanding of the love of Christ, of the love of God, I must have knowledge. I must water knowing. I must be rooted in it. If you got a plant or a tree with deep roots, it's not going anywhere. Right? If there's not deep roots, it won't be long before that tree or that plant will be ungrounded. It's just going to come right out of the soil because there's nothing holding it there. But when you're facing adversity, when you're facing opposition, you better know how much the Father loves you. In fact, when it seems like all hell is coming against you, when everything's breaking out all around you, seems like trouble is on every side, you better just stand up and say, I don't know exactly what's going on, but I tell you what I do know. I know that Jesus loves me. In fact, I got a song about it. This I know. Jesus loves me, this I know, right? But I tell you what, I do know something right now. I know that Jesus loves me. I know he loved me enough to go to the cross for me. I know he loved me enough to die for me. And I know, baby, that he loved me enough to get back up for me. Come on and ascend to the right hand of the Father and put his blood on the mercy seat. So now that when God looks at me, he no longer sees a sinner, a beggar, or an outcast. But he sees me raised up, seated together next to him in Jesus Christ. He looks on me through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He sees me as righteous because he loves me that much. And when I receive Christ, that love is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Ha! Praise the Lord. Man, you meditate on that like that, and what happened? I've just got strengthened in my inner man by his Holy Spirit. Amen. That ain't going to happen if you ain't rooted and grounded in love. You ain't going to be able to even understand it. You ain't going to be able to scratch the surface of it. Keep reading. Watch. So that you got to be rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, then may be able to comprehend. Say, I ain't even going to get it. I'm not even going to understand it until I'm rooted and grounded in love. Amen. May be able to comprehend with all saints, what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ. We're not just talking about reading about it, we're talking about experiencing it. Not talking about a head knowledge, we're talking about an experiential knowledge. To know. To know. I want to know what love is. Isn't that a song or something? Who sang that? Yeah, who sang that? I don't even know who sang it. Anyways, this is a real song. It was like a big voice back in the day. All right, well, Google it later. All right. Yeah, right? And that's the question everybody always asks, right? You want to know what love is? We're talking about knowing the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. In other words, it'll blow your peanut brain out of the water how much he loves you, how much he cares for you. I mean, all you got to do is sit there and think about, man, you know, I missed it here, messed it up there, didn't do something pleasing here, but he still loves me. I mean, that's pretty big time where I come from. That's still really amazing. I mean, think about how many people, natural folks, you know, that once you got them mad at you, they was just done with you. But not God. God don't write us off. He loves us that much. You hear what I'm saying? So he said that you may be filled with the fullness, all, A-double-L, the fullness of God. Are you kidding? You can't even wrap your brain around what we just read. You can't even begin to fathom what we just discussed. To be filled with what? The fullness of God. How full is that? Well, I can't explain it. What all's in there? We can't even get to the end of it. Are you hearing me? And the key is what? Knowing the love of God. Knowing the love of Christ. Being rooted and grounded in it. Are you hearing me? Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Praise the Lord. Love of God, pretty important. We got to be rooted and grounded in it. Jesus commands us to walk in that kind of love. All right, so my message is done. Your homework is to go back, because I didn't bring it out here, I'd do it for you right now. Your homework is to go read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8 in the Amplified Classic Edition. All right, your homework is to go read that. Meditate that. Pray that out. Right? Say, Lord, I thank you. Read those verses. That you love me this way. Lord, I thank you. Holy Spirit, I thank you. Help me to love others this same way. Jesus, you commanded me that I'm to love them this way. This is how you love the Lord. I'm going to let them know what love is. Right? Huh? All right, good job. All right. You get the gold star. And you are the first person to make the church Bible academic team. All right, praise the Lord. So, and so we'll find a state tournament to go win sometime. All right, praise the Lord.